This morning we're going to change up a little bit in how we preach. We're going to have a little bit more interactive preaching, something that's been laid on my heart that I've been dealing with now for a couple weeks that I feel like we need to talk about a little bit. And we've talked about it some, but I want to talk about it a little bit more today. I'm going to be reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verses 4 through 26, in just a few moments, about the woman at the well. And it's, as I've shared with some, it's one of my favorite scriptures because of what it says to us as being Christians, what it says to us about how we approach life, and that's the scars that we carry around. So we're going to be a little interactive in how we talk, and if you've got something to say, throw it out there. But I want you to think just for a minute. A popular Christmas story about some kind of little creature, and I don't know what color he is, I'm colorblind, but who stole Christmas? Who was that? And the kids have left, so y'all might not know the answer. The Grinch who stole Christmas. The Grinch who stole Christmas. And what I would tell you today is there's a Grinch, or a lot of Grinches, in our world around us today. Because they like to steal the joy. They like to steal the happiness. They like to, you know, they're just those people that just draw the fun out of you because of the way that they go about living. Now, if anybody has been out shopping already, you have probably run into some of those Grinches that I'm talking about. They just kind of pull the joy out of your heart. And you wonder, well, what happened to them? Why are they so rude? Why are they so mean? Why can't they smile? Why on all these different things that we encounter them? Or why did that person cut me off in traffic? Or why does traffic have to be so bad at this time of the day? Why can't I find a parking lot at a parking place at Target, wherever it is that we go? And then the cashiers and the people working in the photo labs, I mean, just they've all got something going on, or at least some of them do. And you're saying, well, it's Christmas. Why are people this angry? Why do they have this? But I think the world is that Grinch in some sense. The world is that Grinch in some sense, and that it will pull the joy away from us if we allow it to. That it's supposed to be a season of fun, a season of remembrance, a season of coming near to God. And of course, the kids are celebrating what's getting ready to happen. But there are those around us that try to steal that joy. I want you to do something for me, though. I want you all to smile real big. And I'm looking. Yeah, I see some good smiles out there. Some of them I don't. I'm going to work on it a little bit. Now give me your sad face. Now come on, man. We really need the kids in here because the kids really can throw that sad face. What do they throw that sad face for? If they want something, right? If they want something, then your heart kind of melts and they do whatever. Y'all are not too good at the sad face. What about your excited face? You're getting something you want. It's a good day. Now, I see a real good one there. You might get an acting award. And Ben up here is doing a happy dance, I think. So there's the excitement. All right, let's see a bored face now. Like you do every Sunday when we're preaching and all. I mean, let me see that bored face. Okay, so some of you are doing really well with your faces. And some of you are not doing so well. A big part of you, I really couldn't tell a difference in your sad face or your happy face, or at least part of you, your sad face, happy face, excited face. And what I would say to you, well, let me ask you this. When somebody is putting on a pretend happy face, is it the same happy face as we would see with someone who's really happy or excited? Can you tell?
No.
All right, so when we leave here today, or if you've been out shopping, the people that are putting on the pretend faces, you know. The people that are really got something going on in their mind, you know. You know who they are. Because behind that face is something that is hidden. It is some pain that they've experienced. Let's say, I mean, it could be a lot of different things. But some pain that they've experienced. It could be because of something that's going on in their lives. It could be because they're working too many hours. It could be a whole variety of things, but there's something behind that face. And as Christians, I think what we or to do is to try to figure out, to some extent, what's going on behind that face. When we ask a person, and I've said this before, when we ask a person, how are you doing today? What do we expect them to say? What do we want them to say?
Doing great.
Doing great. Doing fine. Why? Because we don't want to engage them. We say that how are you doing today? We do that as a greeting. We don't do it as a question anymore. We do it as a greeting. Hey, how are you doing today? And you walk on to the next person and they say, not so good. You say, oh no, what did I just get myself into? What kind of conversation am I going to have now because I asked somebody how they were doing today? I mean, in the past we've talked about maybe we should be saying, how is it with your soul today? What's going on in your life? Do we really want to know? Well, I would tell you that we should really want to know for those that we care about. Because the way that we offer Christ is by offering an unconditional love. The way that we offer the good news of Jesus Christ is by listening to people. We don't have to have the answers. We simply need to listen to them. Well, the scripture that I read this morning from the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verses 4 through 26, is this. But he had to go through Samaria, Jesus did. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, and near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired by his journey, was sitting by the well. And it was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it? Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water. Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come back. The woman answered him, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true. The woman said to him, sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us. Jesus said to her, I am he, the one who is speaking to you. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, do you think Jesus showed up at this well by mere coincidence? Nothing is coincidence with Jesus. He was there for a purpose. Now, why do you think this woman was coming to the well during the middle of the day? It was just her and Jesus. Why do you think she came during the middle of the day, during the heat of the day?
She was ashamed.
Say again?
She was ashamed.
She was ashamed. She wanted to be by herself. She didn't want to have an encounter with anybody. She didn't want anybody asking her, how are you doing today? And she didn't want to have to answer it. She was an outcast. She wanted to be alone. People came to the well in the morning when the weather was cooler. They came in the morning, and it was a social place. Imagine some of the gas stations and the hangouts that we have here in our county. where people go and they sit and they talk and you find out everything going on in the community around you. Well, that's what happened at the well every morning and every evening. People talk, and they talked about her. Oh, there comes that woman who's had five husbands. Can you believe that? And the guy that she's living with now, well, they're not even married. They talked about her. She was an outcast. She was not one of them. So she came to the well during the middle of the day. And lo and behold, at the well, at this place where she was trying to be alone, she encountered Jesus Christ, the salvation of all mankind. And Jesus just said, "Give me some water." He had a conversation. Now, he was not supposed to be talking to her. He was not supposed to be talking to her because the Jews and the Samaritans didn't talk to each other. As a matter of fact, they couldn't stand each other. But he was having a conversation. And she said, "Why do you, a Jew, talk to me, a Samaritan?" And of course, we know how that works out. Jesus seeks out the lost. He seeks out those that are different. He hangs out with those that he's not supposed to hang out with. And he offers the Spirit of the living God through the water of baptism, offers the Spirit of the living God through those conversations that he has with people. He seeks out people that are different, and he has those conversations with them. But let's go back to that face for a minute. What kind of face do you think she was walking around with? Do you think she had the happy face on all the time? No. Probably not really the sad face either. She probably just had that blank stare as she went about her daily life. She was an outcast from society. She didn't have the means to go anywhere else. She was living with a guy that she was not married to. Her five previous marriages had not worked out too well. So nobody thought much of her. But remember this, brothers and sisters, she was still a child of God. She was still a child of God, and Jesus loved her right where she was. At her point of brokenness, at her point where she had been scarred by the world, at her place of pain, Jesus loved her. And he already, imagine yourself as that Samaritan woman. When he said, "Go get your husband." And she said, "I don't have a husband." And when he responded, said, "You're right, you've had five." All of a sudden, just imagine what she looked like then. Well, brothers and sisters, that's the way it is. We might think that we're not worthy. We might think that we can't have a relationship with Christ because of what's happened in our past. You can't hide it. He already knows. Now, your face might be able to hide it from me. It might be able to hide it from someone else, what you're carrying around as a burden. But Jesus already knows. And in spite of that, and because of that, he loves you right where you are. So happy face, excited face, sad face, bored face, whatever, Jesus knows what's going on in your life right now, and he wants you. The people out here in our community that are walking around like zombies or walking around in some kind of zone, Christ wants to meet them, and Christ has commissioned us to go forth and to make disciples and to simply offer that love. And we do that by having conversations. We do that by being ready for people to say, "Not so good," when we ask them, "How are you doing today?" The choice that we have is to deny Christ, to deny that opportunity for discipleship, just like several in the Bible did, denying Christ, whenever somebody says, "I'm not doing good," that's your end. Or we can be the disciple that Christ has called us to be. Every day there are people walking around, people that we encounter. I shared one that I had been dealing with this week. That came to a head last night. Every day somebody is carrying around some burden in their heart. Perhaps they're dealing with a sickness, a new diagnosis of an illness. Maybe they've not shared that they've been recently diagnosed with cancer or some other life-altering, life-ending illness that they're getting ready to have to start a battle with. Maybe they've not shared the fact that they're anxious about some medical results that they're waiting to receive, or they're going through a separation, or that they don't know where their next bill is, how the next bill is going to be paid. Or that they're hungry and they don't have food. Or that they're thirsty for God's word and they don't know how to get it. Or maybe they're angry or they've been hurt by something or pain. Maybe they're dealing with depression. Maybe they're dealing with suicidal thoughts or some type of grief from a loss of a loved one. And it goes on and on and on. And I want to thank you again for having the grace to allow me to go off like I did last weekend. I can tell you it's probably the most, and I say this every time, and I think it can't get any more powerful, but last weekend was one of the most spiritual times that I've ever experienced with those kids up in the mountains and their families. And just the opportunity to witness to people and talk to people and to tell people about Jesus. We have one kid there that was 9 years old, come to find out had had brain cancer and was kind of at the same place in his journey as with Angel. They were out there talking to each other about how they dealt with it, and they were comparing their scars on their heads from their brain surgeries, talking about tearing your heart out. And another kid was up there, was 11 years old. It was a police officer's daughter from up in the mountains. His kid had had Ewing's sarcoma, which is a type of bone cancer. He had gone through all the treatments and was doing well, but the week before she came up there, found out that it was back and that there was not much they could do, that it was already stage 4, metastasized, and couldn't do much for it. Talking about the conversations we had. And then another kid up there that was 8 years old, whose father had just committed suicide 3 months before she come up there. The little kid killed her first deer and said, "Can I use my daddy's deer drag?" For you deer hunters, you know what it is. "Can I use my daddy's deer drag to get this deer out of the woods?" Talking about the conversations that we had and how God works. And every one of these kids, their stories, their faces told a story. Every one of these parents that were there, their faces told a story. If you simply took the time to be still and hear what they had to say. Brothers and sisters, our challenge is offering this joy back to those in our community, those that we come in contact with. We get it. We understand. We struggle. We're human beings. But we know that true joy comes through Jesus Christ, from Jesus Christ. We celebrated that with Holy Communion this morning. We celebrate it with the music we sing, the scriptures we read. We know that our hope is in the Lord and that through Him we experience an everlasting, eternal, unconditional love. And that through Him and only through Him do we experience an abundant grace and mercy. And only through Him do we experience a forgiveness of sin and a promise of an everlasting life. Remember this. Help others remember this. That He is there to teach us. He is there to walk with us. And go back to the Proverbs and everything that we do. If we simply will acknowledge Him, He will direct our paths. And through that, we experience His abundant grace and mercy. The kindness that He pours out, the blessings that He fills our hearts with, those are the things that can only be experienced in with a relationship through our Creator. So today as we leave here, we have to remember that we've been commissioned, commanded to love God, love our neighbor, and we've been commissioned to make disciples. We have to reach those that are hurting. We have to ask what it is behind that face that people put on each day. Because they put on that face because they have to, or because they think they have to. This woman at the well thought she had to put on a face. She didn't. Jesus accepted her the way she was. Today there are people out there that feel like they can't be accepted and that they have to hide something. And as you go out living that model of love that Christ taught us, we have a chance to remember, or we have a chance to make a difference. And remember this, you've heard it before. I mean, with Methodism, John Wesley said one of the greatest things that we have. He said this. He said, remember this. Best of all, God is with us. Best of all, God is with us. Let us hold that in our hearts. And as we go out of here today, the next time we ask somebody, how are you doing today? Stop and listen. Stop and listen. Find out what's behind that face. Go forth now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.